everybody. Welcome to Pep Talks. I'm Eddie Pepitone, and today my guest will be James Fritz, an excellent comic from Kentucky with a social conscience. And maybe some of you should get a social conscience. Huh? Or you're too busy with recipes. Oh, let me chop the garlic. Let me chop the lemon. Let me squeeze a little pinch of oregano into this. Meanwhile, the whole fucking civilization is collapsing while you're squeezing your oregano into it. Anyway, James isn't here yet. He had an emergency. And by the way, I think that lends more gravitas to this podcast. When your guest has had an emergency and he's texting me right now saying, I think I'm in the wrong place. This is what life is, okay? This isn't your NPR podcast. Oh, hello, I'm Fred Johnson, and today we're going to be talking about the different cheeses in the Andes Mountains, and we have many experts. I have no experts. I have a guest who's had an emergency who just said, I think I'm in the wrong place. Look, this is the opposite of NPR. It's it's PRN. Anyway, let me just tell you, this podcast is brought to you by the, hold on, we're going to talk to James now live. James, and you'll see a gray building and just come in and I'm already on the air and this is actually being broadcast on the air, your thing. I told people you had an emergency, which makes you a better guest, that guests who have emergencies will come in here with a sense of purpose. So just whenever you come, whenever you park, James, you'll see it's a gray building. Let's say who this podcast is brought to you by. This podcast is brought to you by The Collapsing Company. The Collapsing Company, they asked me, Eddie, would you mind us being a sponsor to your show? And I said, absolutely. The Collapsing Company builds things that collapses immediately. Like if you have a bookshelf and you it will collapse within, and this is what the Collapsing Company does. The Collapsing Company, they are located in Burbank, and they it's not really a storefront. It's just a door. You knock on it and you go, how you doing? And that gets you in. And anyway, the Collapsing Company builds a bookshelf or any product that will collapse within 2 to 3 weeks. And let's say you have you build a bookshelf and you put books up. You know you're not going to read the books anyway. How many people really read the books that they buy? They buy books, you know. They put them on their Kindle, but do they read them? And by the way, here's something that the Collapsing Company will do is they will build you a Kindle bookshelf. Now, have you ever had a Kindle bookshelf? I'm not talking. It's on the phone. It's on the phone, and yet it looks like a bookshelf, and you could put your digital books on a bookshelf, and you could live in a digital house with the Collapsing Company. Now, I know some of this is starting to sound surreal to you. Huh. Well, maybe it is. And maybe I have lost my mind. Maybe I'm not even in a studio. Maybe I've just commandeered some lights, a microphone from a family, from a beautiful, beautiful family that is really having a great time of it here in LA. They have a sprinkler in their front lawn. They have like a beautiful pink flamingo. They have pudding. They have butterscotch pudding in the refrigerator. They have a lot of things going on. And by the way, that is one of my barometers whether or not you're doing well. If you have butterscotch pudding in your fridge in like just a small little plastic cup and you have like two or three of them with a little whipped cream on top of them. All vegan, by the way. Let's not kid anybody that they're non-vegan. And you have it, and you on your front lawn is a sprinkler system, and inside you're listening to Martin Luther King, his stuff when he was equating, domestic poverty with our involvement in Vietnam, like when Martin Luther King. So let me set the stage again. You got beautiful butterscotch puddings, you got your sprinkler going on your front lawn, but you have Martin Luther King, you know, his speeches when he equated domestic unrest with our imperialist adventures overseas, when he finally equated our involvement in Vietnam with, like, oppression overseas, he equated with oppression domestically. And that's why Dr. King was shot. Anyway, that also, how does that relate to butterscotch pudding? Well, you're a socially conscious person, which is how I started the podcast. And by the way, I just want to say this too. I will be at the Punchline in San Francisco March. I'm getting way ahead of myself. September, we may not see September. Just the eco catastrophes, the global financial meltdowns, the viruses that possibly could spring up. So I won't do any September dates, but March 22nd, coming up, March 22, 23, and 24, I'll be at the San Francisco Punchline. Please come see me. I'll also be in Little Rock, Arkansas for a rare appearance in Little Rock at the Whitewater Tavern in Little Rock, April 20th, as part of the Charles Portis Festival. These are the two road gigs that I have scheduled, and we'll see what other road gigs come up. I'm currently in negotiations with the Hell Yes Festival in New Orleans, and that will be in September. Let's hope no levies break there. But anyway, I want to get to a couple of more sponsors besides the collapsing company that will build you things that will collapse. Like, they will build you a life partner. Now, a lot of people think that I want to meet a life partner. No, the collapsing company will build you a life partner, and that life partner will collapse within 2 weeks. And let me tell you something about relationships that are intense. Two-week relationships, in a way, can be the best because you really have a passionate thing going on. You know, the love is at the height. The love is at the height, and then 2 weeks and it's over. And, you know, that there can be a lot said for something like that. Now, I know that long-term relationships, they're good because you can really, you plant roots. It's like gardening, a long-term relationship. It's like gardening. Did I say I'm going to be at the San Francisco Punchline? March 22nd through 24th. I hope I did. But the collapsing company, so it'll build you a life partner. And is the life partner AI intelligence? And by the way, AI intelligence, I'm just remembering now that Stephen Hawking, I just want to pay homage to Stephen Hawking, Dine and James Fritz. Come on, James, just put your headphone on, and we're already into it. I'm just doing free associative bullshit, and we're going live. We're live on Facebook, which is what the kids are doing. But I guarantee you, the kids who are watching this, say hello.
This is kids.
James Fritz.
My children.
Hi, kids. Get away from the fire. How many times have I told you kids to not light the coffee tables on fire? Coffee tables are for coffee and books we don't read.
Coffee tables are for closers, Eddie.
Coffee.
That's a fun play on the... What a day. What a day. How are you?
So I'm good. James Fritz, welcome.
I'm sorry, you're talking about Stephen Hawking?
Yes, Stephen Hawking died. And I'll tell you, whenever a physicist dies, for me, I'm just like, what?
It's big for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've known a couple of physicists died, minor physicists. They're guys who they didn't even know what string theory was. I mean, these were minor physicists. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. Do you need to spit something? This guy, let me tell you, my guest has so many emergencies and problems. Like, he just had something in his mouth. He didn't know what to do with it. That's what you want in a guest. Now, what was the emergency?
I'm thriving.
What was the emergency?
Oh, I forgot I had this other commitment to walk this dog. My career is going great.
See that? He's a comic who didn't want to admit he's walking dogs. Now, let me tell you something. I think there's no shame in that. First of all, I love dogs.
Right.
I love dogs. And my heart gets broken on a regular basis. Like, if I'm walking by, as a matter of fact, I have to find a way to deal with this. Like, if I'm walking by and I hear a dog in a house or an apartment just with this plaintive wail, I think I have to break in and save the freaking dog.
Yeah. Did you hear about that? Well, it's a horrible story.
Oh, my God. Some idiot. I don't even want to.
It's so awful.
They put a fucking dog in the overhead compartment?
In the overhead compartment.
Were they hiding the dog? Is that why they did that? That was my... I didn't even read it because it was such a horrible
story.
Yeah,
I think...
It wasn't one of the dogs you were responsible for, was it?
It was me. I told you I had an emergency. I don't know.
If we even want to talk about that.
United, was it? Killed a dog. Anyway.
Did United fuck
I think it was
up?
United, right?
Was it... The airline that fucked it?
Yeah, the stewardess told them to put the dog.
By the way, they're not called stewardesses anymore.
Well,
they are called.
I'm as bad as a dog murderer.
The flight attendant. What did the flight attendant do? I call them the boppin' babies. I call them the boppin' babies.
Do they like that?
Look, on this podcast, it's not going to be your normal fare.
Yeah, I'm a store guy now, Eddie. I don't play by these PC rules.
Yeah, we don't play by PC rules. I call flight attendants the bopping babies. Hey, baby! I have no leg room here. By the way, I'm so...
Daddy needs a new bag of nuts.
Daddy needs a new bag. I am so timid on an airplane. Like, just take a Klonopin.
I want to just, I want to be so small that I don't
exist. I don't say bop and bit. I don't say anything to the flight attendant. The atmosphere on a plane is, don't fuck up. Sit in your little two-inch chair, you peasant. Your two-inch chair. And by the way, maybe too many vegan cupcakes, huh, pal?
Oh. They spot you as a vegan?
No, they spot the cupcakes. I'm adding the vegan. But the atmosphere on a plane is like, just don't fuck up.
I get so nervous still.
Oh, yeah.
Do you? Like,
oh,
I'm going to be
because
hated by this group of people that you have to be with. Like, and I get so gassy.
You get gassy?
And I think the fear only makes
that's
me more
funny
gassy.
Yeah. I'll tell you, when someone does fart on a plane and it's not me, I get angry.
Sure.
When it's me, I'm like, this isn't, you know, enjoy this, everybody. Like, my attitude is enjoy.
There's more where that came from.
Please enjoy.
Please to enjoy their next presentation.
No, because, you know, but actually,
I feel so bad when I have to get up to pee.
Me too.
I apologize so profusely, like I've
But that's why
dated their daughter and broke their heart or something. Like, I'm so sorry. They're usually just like, it's fine. And then.
Yes. That's why I always get an aisle seat. Like, that to me is so key.
Oh, yeah.
To get an aisle seat so I don't have to go through that horrific guilt. But it is funny because then I am always in the position to let the other person out.
Right.
And to me, it's like, yeah, what's the big deal? They have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
So why am I so in my fucking head about having to get up?
I think you and I are similar in the way we just assume everyone hates us from my starting off point. Like, I felt so bad saying I was going to be late. I was like, oh, God, I'm bothering Eddie.
Oh, no.
And, like, I was going to...
I know.
When I looked up the address, I saw there was a north and south, and I was like...
I can't believe...
should I clarify? No, I'll be pestering him if I keep emailing... Or if I keep messaging him.
No, I had to say...
I know you're busy. You got the physicist. You're in mourning.
Well, so let's segue a little out of the airplane stuff.
People love which is airplane. Great.
I mean, airplane stuff, and this is going live.
Has that been covered by comedians?
It was funny. I was walking my dog in the park, and one of the people that I meet who walks my dog, she was telling me, there's a great bit that a comedian does about airplanes. And she was telling me, it's like, you're in a chair flying through space, yet you're complaining about shit. Think about it. You're in a fucking chair.
Right.
And by the way, my...
Do you know who the comedian is?
I forgot. Who is it?
It's Louis.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it Louis C.K.?
I thought you were leading up to that as your big reveal. This great guy. I saw this guy. He's a great comedian and a great guy.
I forgot who it was. And I remember thinking, when she's telling me the bit, I'm like going, and this is my, you know, self-loathing voice that never ends. And by the way, if you don't have a self-loathing voice out there, you're not a friend of mine. And if you're watching this on Facebook, you're probably not a friend of mine if you don't have a self-loathing voice that attacks you constantly.
So it's not just an act. Eddie Pepitone is a character you play.
Wouldn't it be funny if I'm a fine English gentleman? like I'm really just like this, like I have a beautiful head of hair. This is like a bald wig, and I have a beautiful head of hair. Mm-hmm. I'm thin, and I live in Oxford.
Well, the hat, you're on your way. That's a fine English gentleman hat.
And my whole day is just spent playing lawn tennis. Muffin, could you get the ball?
Is Muffin the dog or the
Muffin
house?
Is my wife.
Oh, the wife.
Muffin, get the ball. And we have the Timlins coming over. We're going to discuss string theory in honor of Steven.
Edward, quick, you have a show.
All right. Is that good, honey? Let me gracefully get into the character of Eddie Pepitone. Here we go. Oh, Muffin. Muffin, you know, this Eddie Pepitone, I don't know where I came up with him. Bald, working class, lived in Brooklyn, Staten Island. His parents absolutely despised him, which, when you think of it, is very fucked up because they brought him into the world. Why would anybody's parents despise
it's
their
so
children?
American. It's so American.
You know, here in England, jolly old England, I think the reason, you know, they're a young country in America. They're very...
Oh, that's my favorite.
Is it?
Well, they're like, oh, America's such a young country. Yeah, but we've done a lot of damage really fast.
Oh, we've done damage. You know, we've never had a war on our soil, right? Like, we never were attacked. I mean, we were attacked by
we fought ourselves pretty hard there the one time.
We fought ourselves. Oh, yes, that's true. Now let's talk a little bit about you. You are from a place.
I'm a dog walker. Okay.
You're a dog walker. Sorry. Skywalker. I mean, dog walker. Watch it. That'd be funny if, I don't even know that where I'm going with that. Skywalker, dog walker. There's something in that. And if you're a young child out there and you want to get into stand-up, that's what you have to do. You have to say, Skywalker, dog walker, there's something there. And then don't do anything about it for years. And that's what being a stand-up comedian is about.
How do you know when the bit's done, Eddie?
I tell audiences this now, that because I don't have punchlines, basically, and I just scream at them. And sometimes they're not into it. Sometimes they're not into my thing, but I just scream at them. I say, hey, folks. A lot of comedians come up here with very crafted material. You know, I'm the joke, okay? I am the joke. Life is our joke. Like, I just go into this whole philosophical thing, what comedy is, and they're still pissed off.
That kind of happened to me last night.
I
think I got this gig because I texted you that I bombed so hard. And then you're like, hey, you want to do the show? You're my kind of comic.
No, thank God you texted me because it led you to you being here today, which is good.
When God closes a window?
What the fuck happened on your gig? last night before we get into who you are. As a matter of fact, this will be a window.
I'm a bombing comedian. That's my new...
No, but when I've seen you perform, it's gone very well.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, your crowds enjoy me.
That's but, right.
Oh, I was just doing this show, and it was just one of those... It was downtown. It's a friend's show. They run it downtown in a bar. Oh. It's not the show's fault, but...
Where,
maybe
which,
don't have a
is
show
it on, Lexington?
On Skid Row. No, it was at...
okay.
What is it?
Downtown L.A., by the way, we're talking about, folks. Yeah. For those of you who don't live in L.A. and live in some fucked up part of the country where you're like, every day you're like, what are we going to do?
And we always know what we're going to do. We're going to sit in traffic and...
We know what we're going to do here. We're going to sit in traffic and whine.
And podcast.
And podcast, whine about the traffic, and be very bitter about people getting jobs that we think we should have gotten.
So, yeah, I was doing that in my head before the set. I was just in a... I was kind of in a, like, foul... It was kind of dreary out. Trump was downtown, which I didn't realize.
Oh, you're
kidding.
So
I think, like, everyone was
could
just
you imagine,
like, let's just avoid it.
You
know?
You imagine Donald Trump visiting Skid Row? That would be, how you doing? This is fantastic. I can't do Trump. This is fantastic. This is fantastic.
You are the stinkiest man. I don't know. You're the best... Yeah. It's depressing down there. Turns out it's depressing on Skid Row. And so and I took a bus down there, so I walked through Skid Row,
you know,
on
my
way.
I've never done that. Now, L.A.
You see how I dress. I mean, no one's going to be like, I've never been mugged in my life, and I've lived in Chicago. Very bad neighborhoods, and I don't know.
Yeah.
They're like, this guy's got $5 max, you know.
You're given money as you walk through these neighborhoods. You're like, give him a couple of bucks.
Yeah, right.
Like, you make money walking
handing
through.
Handing me hot coffee when I walk by. Yeah.
But, tell me about the show. So it was on Skid Row. Well, L.A. has the biggest homeless population,
right.
I think, in the United States. And the L.A. Skid Row is...
It's really shameful.
It is shameful.
This whole city should be ashamed of how bad
it is. The whole country.
Yes.
The whole country. The fact that there's homelessness... To the scale, it's
massive here.
It's just so insane.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, everybody's talking sports.
But now, like, you're right.
Like, there's a fucking massive homeless population, and people are like, well, Tom Brady. It's like, shut the fuck up about Tom Brady, you assholes. The society's collapsing, you douchebags.
How are your Giants looking this year?
Well, they just got a good offensive lineman. We'll see, but I don't know. He's older.
Sure.
I am a contradiction.
Well, all geniuses are at it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Did you hear that? All genius. Everybody.
That's how you get booked. What was I saying? Oh, but yeah, but you know how it is now downtown. Like the art, like now it's being revitalized. So there's like
parts of it are not like, all of it, obviously.
No, but like it'll be like half a block over this like kind of like new hip bar or whatever.
Yes,
and it's. Just the dichotomy of that in this town is like no other place I've ever been where it's...
The haves and the have-nots right next to each other.
Right next to each other. Like half a block away.
Yeah.
And so the show was like on this outdoor patio. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, a homeless man was coming by and like... It just felt, I don't know, it felt weird to even be having fun there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And... I never like to make fun of homeless people in my act.
I don't either.
I've always found that disgusting, even when I was first starting out and would do any easy joke.
Right.
Always just rubbed me.
Right. Yeah. Let's pick on. Yeah.
Literally.
Let's pick on the fucking people who are the most down and out. Let's pick on them.
Who can't even be in this building to defend themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They can't even heckle you.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
Yeah. You never hear a comic. Or you never hear many comics at all picking on the military-industrial complex. You never hear people going after Pentagon generals, right, for bombing fucking Yemen or Saudi Arabia. It's always like, look at that fucking homeless guy.
Right.
They're fucking filthy. Like, oh, you're a fucking real...
Way to go.
Real genius.
I feel really happy you got that laugh.
Yeah.
But then there was a low turnout because it was kind of gloomy out and Trump and
I love that. By the way, I love gloomy days in LA. I love when the sun is not out.
Leaves us alone.
Leave me the fuck. I have a prayer to the sun. You know how people have prayers? Mine isn't exactly a worship. Because once you've lived in L.A. for more than, I think, 5 years, your prayer to the sun is, please, just fucking go away for a day. Two would be really nice. 2 days would be amazing. But fucking leave me alone.
Turn the spotlight off.
I've already got to go to the dermatologist fucking four times a year, and I hate going to any doctor because I hate taking care of myself because I don't like taking care of myself. It fucking means I have to drive somewhere.
That's the big...
Doesn't it come down to that, like, should I get this thing looked at? Yeah, but traffic is terrible. For me, anyway.
I'm just going to be more exposed to the elements sitting in traffic. Maybe but house visits. Do they do those still?
You know, like a country doctor in L.A. It would be funny, like a city version of the country doctor, like just someone who comes in. He's really like kind of erudite, and really quickly is like, what's and he's very like, you know, he's also brought like some fusion food with, like he's got his complete doctor stuff. Doctor stuff. I can't even say what equipment he might have. I go doctor stuff.
Stethoscope? Is that one? Stethoscope. That's a thing.
Have stethoscope. We'll travel. We'll be right back after this message from couches.
Want a bigger chair? Try a couch. I don't know.
So you were performing at a outdoor now
it's
on
like
the,
a patio.
It doesn't sound like a very well.
I don't want to cast aspersions.
Okay,
nice people,
right?
I don't know the show, but I didn't read the crowd. What there was of it, I didn't read them well. I didn't because I just heard some interview where a comic was saying like the problem with modern comedy is the comic is going to the crowd, and back in the day, like a real comic's job is to bring the crowd to you, and I was like. Yeah, and then so I was just like, I'm gonna bring them to me, and like they were just laughing at pussy and dick jokes.
Oh, they were
night.
Doing that. What, was that I, the kind of?
It's kind of the energy. Yeah,
pussy and dick jokes. Yeah, they're big. They're big with the pussy and dick jokes are very big with you people, aren't they? Aren't they? Because you don't want to be challenged,
darling. I I'm really channeling Eddie Pepitone very well. I've lost the English accent now, but...
That was pretty good.
So, yeah, so how many...
It was 8 minutes.
It
was one of those sets where, like, I was like, one more time. And then I stumbled over the first, like, just saying thank you to the host, you know, or whatever. Just stumbled on that, and then I was like, oh, boy. And so then I just was like, opening line, I did this joke. Like, I thought I was finessing it well, like, setting them up, like, how we're all divided and blah, blah, blah. And, like, the punch is just how we should skin the children of the rich in front of their parents so they stay afraid of us. And, like, that's kind of like a good opener. Like, hey, whoa. Like, and not even an angry reaction. Just no reaction. And then it was one of those sets where I just made every bad decision. I was talking everything that popped into my head. I was saying out loud.
A classic bomb.
It was a classic bomb. I hadn't had a classic bomb in a while.
Those are
where I think I said out loud, like this is going to be a long 8 minutes, and you shouldn't say that into a microphone.
Well, no, but the thing about bombing,
I started to enjoy it after a while.
Oh well, that's good. But the thing about bombing is that, like, a classic bomb is when, for me, is when I'm not doing well with the audience, you know, and they are, you know, and instead of stopping and saying, Jesus Christ, I hate you people,
right.
Or the feeling is mutual, or like, folks, believe it or not, we have 12 more minutes to go. And so far, like, they like that when you get real.
I thought they would. They didn't like that either.
And then
I'm like, okay, I'm going to pull a one-liner from the old album that I know. And then that didn't work. And then I was like,
angry. Like, I'm thinking of this, and I'm
like
angry for you
thing.
Now. Yeah.
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 I was just like, well, maybe I'm done. Maybe that was it.
It is an interesting thing, too, about doing stand-up. When you have one bad show, how you just think, if this is what you meant, you just think, I can't do this shit.
Yeah, maybe it's gone. If I ever
Yeah.
If it ever had anything.
Yeah.
Maybe that was a lie, too, and people have just been nice to me for
a little for a while.
Trump had something to do with the end of your career. Like, he instructed some people, get Pompeo! I wish I could do any kind of impersonation.
I thought the Englishman was pretty good there.
Pompeo, he's fantastic!
He's fantastic. No, what do they do with Trump? Like, oh, like they kind of, can you do any kind of show? Ah, it's fantastic.
What's the thing he says? Is it,
I don't
know. You're fired.
Believe me. Believe me. Believe me. The economy's whatever he
get
says.
Get him out of here! I only do him when he's yelling, like, when he's yelling for people to kick black people out of his...
What is he
crowds, doing? Remember? Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, is that your joke?
That's the only Trump I can do is the...
Get him out of here!
Yeah. He's a good guy. He's just misunderstood, I think.
He'll pivot.
as
Andy Kindler says, when do you think Trump will pivot? Did they ask Hitler when he would pivot? Kindler does that thing. With Trump. But yeah, when I saw you at the Improv, the first time I ever saw you, you killed that. We were both on the
same Bobcat show.
I think it was Bobcat Probably. Show. And I was like, I didn't even want to follow. I think I had to follow you. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Stop it.
I didn't want to follow you. So it is interesting. What I was thinking, though, is that you had such a bad night last night. And I was thinking if a brain surgeon, and I'm sure they have had bad nights, but can you imagine if they, like...
Ben Carson.
I cannot believe that shows you that brain surgery is not brain surgery.
Exactly.
You know that you know that phrase like, well, it's not brain surgery.
Right.
Well, brain surgery is not brain surgery. You fucking Ben Carson.
I know. I don't even trust rocket scientists anymore.
I'm an Elon Musk guy.
Yeah,
which not mean? Really. But
can't even keep that up for more than 2 seconds.
Well, you know, I mean, I am into space travel, as you know. Me and my family love space travel. It'd be funny if, like, this is a podcast that's going to be done in like 300 years, like from a pod. It literally will be a pod. It will be. Why do they call them pod? I mean, we're not. Is this what podcast? Where did that come from? Because I think they're actually going to be done in pods in 300 years, and it's just going to be like people are going to be floating because the atmosphere in the Earth will be unlivable because of climate disaster. And
so refuge. It'll be people in pods listening to people in pods. Everyone floating?
I don't know.
I'm confused by the future.
But I just like the phrase, me and my family love space travel. I'll never forget the 30-year trip we took. How long does it take? Like 30 years to get to Mars?
Oh, that's almost as bad as the West Side.
Folks,
folks, I can do jokes.
There's no way that audience, and if you were in that audience, by the way, this is serious right now. If you were in that audience James bombed in front of, and I say James bombed, but I blame you, the audience, and I blame you, the audience.
Bomb, James bombed.
By the way, bomb, James bombed.
That's funny. That would have worked. God damn
it.
It's always the next day. It's like when you get in an argument with someone and you're like, I should have said that.
You know.
Sometimes a group of people just hate you.
They do.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
You know what I find is that they hate you immediately.
It felt immediate. It felt immediate and true. It felt like they knew me personally and they hated me for the right reasons. You know what I mean?
But you know, you said an interesting thing that you actually were enjoying it at some point.
Because at some point it just becomes so – like if it had been like a feature set in a club or a headline, I would not – if I had known I had like another half hour up here.
Oh, I would have been like – that's brutal.
Yeah.
But if you would have had –
it was 8 minutes. So about 6 minutes in, I was like, oh, fuck this. I'm just going to tell you how much I don't like you.
Did you do that?
A little.
Because that's what I would have done.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Did that get anything?
No.
Because usually...
It got a little chuckle from the host. So I was like, that's the best we're going to do.
Well, I don't know. You don't
want
to mention what show this is, but off the air, tell me so I know not to do this show. I'll do a lot of different shows, you know.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I ever turn down shows.
Now I do.
Something like on Netflix I really want to watch.
I thought you were going to say, because I'm known to do this too. Like, I'll do little shit shows all over the place, and then some big thing will ask me to do it. And if it isn't what I think is a fair money thing, I'll go no. And so what I wind up doing is like little shit shows instead of like big high profile shows sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Are you rethinking this?
Yes. I'm rethinking everything lately. When you reach a certain age, my age, and you know, you have what I have, you're like, fuck, man, you really should rethink things.
I know. I like after this
Hello,
show,
at the...
I was like, I honestly had a thought, like maybe for like a fleeting thought, like maybe I should go a different direction. I'm like, there's no other direction.
Yeah.
This is what I do. What am I going
to
become a juggler all of a sudden?
Like, I have to take 1 second to say who we're sponsored by. another sponsor for Pep Talks is the Martinis in a Pail. Martinis in a Pail are for people who drink a lot. And Martinis in a Pail will deliver to your house, because a lot of people who drink a lot do not like to go out. Martinis in a Pail, it's 1-800-MARTINI in a Pail, and you will get the equivalent of 60 to 70 martinis. The olives are separate. Now, I want to tell this to my audience. The olives are separate. Martinis in a Pail, the pail will arrive, and it's up to you to know when the pail is coming. The pail will be dropped off, and it's one of Amazon's, and it's dropped off by Amazon, and it is done by a drone. So the liquid, it's not Martini in a Pail's fault if some of the martini mixes in there, but the olives are separate, and the olives come, they are shot at you from wherever you are. They are shot by a child. They are shot by a child. All right, Martini's in a Pail, and it's 1-800-MARTINIS in a Pail, and you know, look for it.
Is there an offer code for listeners to the 20? Amazon. That Jeff Bezos, I like him. That's my...
What's his deal? I just know that Amazon is...
He's a nice neoliberal.
He's one of the good guys.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the good guys. He, you know.
Yeah.
He hires gay people and women, and then makes all of them, everyone, the great quilt of America, he makes them all work for subhuman wages and warehouses without air conditioning, and pays for ambulances to wait outside for when they pass out because it's cheaper.
Is that true? That last part?
Yes.
It
happened a couple years ago.
Shit.
And then they took care of it, but that was an actual thing that was happening.
Holy shit. Well, the last stages of capitalism, I read Chris Hedges all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because Chris Hedges, do you read Hedges at all?
I
love Chris Hedges, and he writes with such scathing ferocity about the injustices of capitalism. And I found out his father was a theologian. His father was a preacher who got kicked out of the Episcopalian. I'm not sure which church, but it was because he was wanted to include gay people. This was in the 60s, I think.
Right.
And he was kind of ahead of his time. And so I think Hedges writes with this religious fervor, you know.
Oh, sure.
But for the right reasons. And he talks about how what you were just describing with Jeff Bezos, right?
Yeah.
And it's just that people in the last stages of capitalism become commodities themselves.
It's
like everything gets commodified. Nature.
Yeah.
Like...
I work for two apps I can't afford to use. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Is that right?
I do Postmates sometimes just to.
Yeah.
I'm really building up. Like, I have a great career. Okay, don't fucking judge me. But I mean, and it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, because
Will you be appearing?
wherever these kind folks live, if they use the app, you can tip me on the app. Don't worry about it.
It would be funny if
cash is king, though. Cash is king.
Cash is king. It would be funny if Postmates partnered with comedy networks and like you delivered whatever
jokes.
It was. No, but
roast jokes.
Listen to me. By the way, roast jokes, do you like them? I find it's the comedy of cruelty. Am I right about that, or am I missing something? Because people love this shit. They love the roast battle. I'm like, fuck that shit. I don't want to like be against somebody going, yeah,
well, it kind of feels like your mother. Yeah, huh? It just feels like the same jokes, just variations on the same three.
Are they?
You know, fat, gay, ugly, yeah, dead.
There goes me. I'd be dead in these fucking... I don't need that. I don't need to get roasted. I'm roasted enough.
I'm a self-roasting comic. I don't need to be taken down a notch. I haven't gone to a notch. I'm on the bottom. But no, I always enjoyed roasts, like those old-timey ones.
Oh, me too.
Where you could tell that they actually knew each other.
Yes!
And were friends. I don't understand the point of like two comedians who barely know each other just cramming like for a test.
Is that what they do? Is that what the roast battle is?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's but I think, do you think, or am I making, am I trying to be too intellectual?
Do it, but I don't know.
The what?
Sometimes I'm sure like good friends do it, but yeah. I've seen people like go around to like mics and shit and practice their roast jokes, which don't do that at a mic.
Oh.
What is wrong with you? And they'll be like, yeah, I don't really know anything about this person.
But do you think it belies, and I don't know if this is reading too much into it, like because I love like to look at everything and like see if it fits into this box. But do you think it belies like cruelty, like people, like sort of what we're talking about, like the fucking Amazon CEO will work people to death, mm-hmm. and then the last stages of capitalism. You know, everything gets commodified, nature, you know, it's not, nobody, you know, it's like you look at a beautiful forest, instead of saying, let's keep it, let's fucking knock it down for whatever, like, you know, let's drill oil in the fucking, you know, Arctic Circle, you know, let's, coral reef is dying, like everything is up for sale.
Yes, literally everything.
And then people are like attacking each other on comedy stages, like... I get it that comedy is in a great, it's aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, I get the point of it, or why I get why people.
Why don't we target
like
the right
it?
People?
Yeah, well, because it's not fun to think about real things, Eddie.
Yeah.
Ask that crowd last night. I was like,
that's how many people were in that crowd?
Oh, like eight, but still, other people.
You
were
eight, you eight, and you know who you are.
Let's give
you
them a name.
Eight.
The what? Something eight.
U8.
the U8. Whatever. Maybe it wasn't that bad. Maybe.
Here's the thing about bombing, though. I know we're all over the place, folks.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
But,
I've been
you,
running around.
It's not you.
Late.
But the thing
coffee.
About.
Coffee.
You didn't get coffee?
No.
That sucks. Yeah. I would have. There's some coffee out there. Too bad.
Yeah. I came right in here. Beeline. That's how much I care, Eddie.
You care, this guy cares. But the thing about bombing, though, is that it always kind of refocuses mm-hmm. me, though. Like, if I'm having good show, and then a bomb all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, whoa, what did I do? Why didn't I see? I always am amazed that I don't see it coming.
Oh, you don't?
Know? Well, yeah, that I didn't see the bomb coming. Or it winds up that I'm lazy, like I just show up. And right. I'm not really that prepared, but I've been doing well riffing, so this should be fine.
Yeah.
And then the crowd doesn't buy me, you know. But by the way, an 8-person crowd, you shouldn't feel bad about at all.
Sure.
Because that is...
But you still want...
Totally, I get
and
it.
When you see other people do okay, you're like, I just wanted to do okay.
Right. Do but I mean? It's easy to bomb in front of 8 people because mm-hmm. if 3 people... First of all, it's quiet. And people never like to be big laughers in little rooms anyway.
Right.
So if a couple of people don't get you, then that can easily spread.
Yeah.
You know, which is why at a comedy show you should wear a surgical mask. Things spread. Hate spreads quickly.
And that way, if you're laughing out loud, people won't know who did it.
That's right.
You won't be able to see, and you'll be more free to laugh. There'll be muffled laughter, so that'll be kind of terrifying sounding.
Just a room of them. Sounds like people being waterboarded who are having a good time.
That's what I do to my audiences. That's what they say. It's like a waterboarding.
A waterboarding. Are you doing any road gigs?
I got into a festival.
Which one?
Someone later. I don't.
Not New Orleans, is it?
No, the Portland one, I think. Or no, the Denver one.
Oh, nice. High Plains.
Yeah. I don't know if we're supposed to
Dude,
say that yet.
Now, that was funny.
I don't think we're supposed to say that yet, so I might have ruined my one.
You didn't hear that. But,
and then I'm trying to put together a tour, a little mini tour for like through the Midwest. And take my gal with me and like trying to make it a vacation. Oh. Hit up a bunch of cities where she knows people and line up some shows like Nashville, Des Moines.
I would
visit Chicago again.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been there in a bit.
Where do you like to perform in Chicago? Do you have any
Zanies.
Places? Zanies? We're laughing.
I love the Hideout, where I met you, actually.
Oh, the Hideout is a cool place.
When you're coming through, and they've been doing more and more comedy shows, I'd love to set up something there.
They have been doing more and more?
Yeah. Like the Late Late Breakfast Show, the Moppins, Liz and Danny run.
They did it there
forever.
Yeah.
And I think they've just been doing more and more comedy there, which is great. That's one of my favorite places anywhere.
The Hideout.
Yeah, I love that
That's
place.
That's a cool room. I did there. I think, when did I do it? I think last year, but also Shuba's, Lincoln Hall.
Shuba's is great. I used to run an open mic every Sunday upstairs at Shuba's in this little upstairs room.
That's cool. Yeah. I like Chicago.
I do too. It's time to go, but I love it.
It was time to go. Yeah. You kind of outgrew it a little bit.
Yeah, and I needed a change, and, you know.
I guess I always romanticize places that I'm not in.
Of course. That's the trick to never being happy at it.
Like, I think I would do very well in New Zealand just because I think it's a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't been, but I've seen overviews of it.
You've seen the Lord of the Rings movies, right?
I've seen Lord of the Rings. Imagine,
I think I would really thrive there.
Imagine your only thought watching Lord of the Rings is like, I bet I could make a go of it in New Zealand.
I wonder what the clubs are like there.
I wonder, you're watching, like, I don't know, Gollum, like, try to get the fucking thing. Whatever. I remember I watched, there were three of those movies. Oh, and yeah. I remember I'm...
Felt you, like more.
What?
Felt like more.
Yeah. But I remember because even though I want to, like, present myself as an intellectual, I always buy into the hype. Like, if a movie gets hyped, and I remember Lord of the Rings was being hyped big time, you know? And I was like, look. And I never was a Middle Earth guy. You know, I always was outer Earth. I always was, you know, the precipice.
If I had to pick Earths.
Yeah.
I'm going outer.
Outer Earth. I was always toward the edge of Earth. I never was a Middle Earth guy.
Well, if you don't cross the line, where do you know where it is?
But I never could get into Bilbo Baggins with the little
corn. The name alone stopped me.
Bilbo Baggins.
I laugh every time I hear that name.
Well, laughter is beautiful.
I didn't think of it that way.
Which is a foundation that I'm running for people who are perfectly healthy. Laughter is beautiful is a foundation I'm running for people who are perfectly healthy and don't need a fucking thing from me. Okay? That's the foundation. Laughter is beautiful, and you don't have anything wrong with you. And we work toward making you just status quo.
Everything fine? Good. We're done.
Laughter is beautiful, and your immune system is healthy, which is why this show is over. The Laughter is Beautiful Foundation. You don't need to send in any money. You're fine.
Oh, that's God. Really funny. tired of other charities that make you do things.
Imagine you're the guy who has to book comics for the Laughter is Beautiful Foundation, and the only thing, look, I need you not to come in, and it's like not booking them, really. Like, don't, I need you not to be in Vegas the 20th and 21st of March. Can you do it? Not be there. You can't do that? I've never had that response.
If I see hide nor hair of you. You're unhired? I don't know.
But
is that water? Is that good?
Did you not get a water? Fuck. You see, this is what happens. This is what happens when you come in late.
And you've seen me in a green room. I'll take snacks to go.
So you had a walk. Mm. It was an emergency walk for this dog? It'd be funny if it was like the dog has like one of those like med alert, like like they they contact you, the dogs themselves, and you thought Biscuit was right? It's the name of the dog.
Yeah,
good name for a dog, Biscuit.
Yeah,
my dog's names are better. Basil.
I love Basil.
And Charlotte.
I love Basil as a dog's name. That's,
isn't that great?
That's a great name.
My wife named him after Basil Fawlty.
Oh, sure.
Of John Cleese.
Okay.
We love Basil Fawlty. We just to picture what we do at night, we just watch Fawlty Towers and just go to each other. I love you.
But you don't really look at each other. You're still facing forward.
I'm still facing forward.
Love you.
Honey, I think the disc is over. Honey? And she hasn't been there for she hasn't
years.
Been there for years. I've lost my mind like 6 years ago. Honey. And then eventually I just start crying.
Yeah.
Like, honey, honey, the disc is over. Why doesn't anybody change this fucking disc? You read, have you read
probably not.
Any good books?
I
NPR. Hello, this is Noah Fuckface. And today we'll be discussing why wine should be shoved up your ass. And not drank, but shoved directly up your ass. On All Things Considered. This is All Things Considered. Well, even though our society is collapsing, when you talk in this voice, people don't think it is. All Things Considered. Boring, yes. Relaxing, maybe for a minute or two before you want to blow your brains out. All Things Considered, NPR, the station that never stops begging for money, even though our CEOs get paid quite handsomely, yet we keep begging for money.
Brought to you by banks.
Yes, yes.
That's my favorite.
Yes, I love that they're so for the public. Yeah. Brought to you by Mega Banks. We've got your money. We've got your money and we'll foreclose on your home. We've done it before. We'll do it again. We'll throw you in the street. We don't care. We've got the money and we write the laws and we own all the politicians. We are part of the military, industrial, prison surveillance complex. With Noah Adams.
Excuse me, we're going to need to retape that. Your voice went up an octave. And we heard the devil. So we're going to need
to... Bob, we have to retape that. We heard the devil this time. We heard the devil. We're going to have to retape that. Have you read any good books?
I'm really close to finishing this book.
Catcher in the Rye.
Catcher in the Rye for the first time. And I think I'm going to shoot someone. It's so good, I could kill a man. Have you ever read Fans Notes?
No, what is that? Because I like to promote books. Me and my wife just did a podcast, my podcast, which we just talked about all the books we read.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm into
Let me look at the guy's name real quick. I always
Fans
Notes.
And just tell me the premise while you're looking it up.
You're
being videoed, so people see you doing this.
Frederick, I admitted to it.
Nietzsche. Frederick Nietzsche.
Have you heard of this guy? What a mess. It's by Frederick Exley.
Mm, how do you spell it?
Exley.
No, I meant Frederick. Kidding. Oh, kidding. You see that? Now that's for the beginner comics.
I thought I was going this way. And then
Yep. What is the book about? Fans Notes.
It's kind of, it was like in the late, I think it was published in like the late 60s. It's got a little kind of beat leftover attitude to it. And
the beats. Ginsburg,
yeah,
Kerouac.
Yeah, so it's kind of
Gary
like,
Snyder, Neil Cassidy. Jump on the bus. The LSD is in the ashtray. This is driving the bus. The Kool-Aid, electric Kool-Aid.
Oh, God.
You write a poem yet, Ginsburg?
Yes, I did. This is for my mother who went insane in New York City.
howling on the top of tenements. Hey, Neil, how many girls did you fuck today?
25, as a matter of fact.
The beats.
It's a lot like that.
No, what is it about?
That's your one-man show called The Beats. I like the way you, you wrap that up. The Beats. Thank you.
I do micro one-man shows where they're only like a minute and a half long. The Beats. Hey, Ginsburg. Didn't your brother go insane too? Why is everybody in your family insane? And this is me like driving, like it doesn't even look like I'm driving the bus. Hey, Snyder. Yeah, Gary Snyder. Those of you who know The Beats know that I know what I'm fucking talking about. Hey, Snyder, how come you keep writing poetry about nature?
Hey, Snyder. What's...
Hey, Kerouac.
What's... What do you keep writing?
Kerouac, how come everybody romanticizes your alcoholism?
Hey, Kerouac, why didn't you ever admit that your rich aunt paid for all your trips?
She did, right?
Right, yeah, something like that.
Oh, my God. But what is Fans Notes about?
Well, it's kind of like a... I think it's a kind of a semi-true autobiography.
This is semi-true, by the way, Ginsburg. So you don't have to write so realistically about your mother all the time. It depresses everybody.
The New York Times review of Tiny Place says it's like you're back in time.
Tiny Place. By the way, oh, shit.
Oh, God.
Hey, Aaron, do you have some paper towel? I spilled water, and I don't want it to get on the electronic or ground. By the way, don't use your shirt. It isn't that important. This is only thousands of dollars worth of equipment. I don't think it got there. But that would be...
No, you're fine.
That's all right. I don't think it's... Fuck. That sucks.
Things get messy with The Beats.
Boy, well, this will no paper towel, huh? All right.
What you just saw, folks, was not a reenactment. This is an episode of 911.
By the way, that's unbelievable.
Podcast
to me.
Emergencies. There's no paper towels.
It's leaking into the board, which I think it might be.
No, I think
we're okay. Yeah, I think no, that was a minor spill.
You got it. That was really nice reflexes, I must say.
I'm very quick when it comes to water dropping. Other than that, very slow. But so what is Fans Notes about? Thank you.
Well, he's obsessed with he's obsessed with the Giants.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is
the football team?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm down
so,
for that.
It starts with, and then it also so it starts with him being obsessed with that. That's why it's called a Fans Notes,
right?
And he's, you know, a drunk. And
oh, he is.
Yeah, and then he goes to a mental institution.
Oh shit!
And I really like his writing a lot. It's very entertaining. It's funny. It's tragic. It's good stuff. And I don't love like all the beats.
Did you say it's real or semi-real?
I think it's pretty real.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, why do you say beats? Was it back in the 70s?
No, it was like late 60s.
Oh,
I think it was
shit.
Like
shit. And he was a Giant fan back then.
Yeah, like earlier, yeah.
Oh shit.
So like he brings up like Frank Gifford and shit.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, and it's just a really good read. A buddy of mine back in Chicago gave it to me before I left, and I like started it, and then like something came up, I put it down for like years, and then I picked it back up again. It's one of those books, like, and then I was like, oh, I gotta start from the beginning, you know, reread it, and and it just really grabbed me this time.
Oh,
and
that's
I'm
so cool.
I haven't finished it yet, so but that's what's on my mind right now, book wise. It's really good.
That.
I think you love it. Yeah, I'll loan it to you.
Yeah, definitely. That's something because I love the job. Like I was just talking to Brody Stevens, and Brody does a lot of sports stuff, and I love sports, but I also am at the point in my life where I'm like, who gives a shit about this stuff? The whole fucking... No, like, the country is fucking collapsing. Why do we get so into sports?
I still enjoy the games.
Yeah, me too.
But I can't imagine being a person that listens to sports radio every day for multiple hours.
I used to do that a little bit.
When I was younger. But to be an adult... Do that? It seems insane to me.
Yeah. And also, I also feel like...
That said, when the Cubs won it all... That's all I listened to for like a week.
Excuse for that. I mean, you want to bask in that.
That was pure basking.
Yes, pure basking.
This podcast brought to you by Pure Basking. Pure Basking.
whatever thing that's happened to you that you want to bask in, we'll let you do it in a pure way, in a controlled environment, with a pail of martinis. Pure basking. We're located here in Burbank, right next to the yogurt shop where there's murders.
Oh, the Yogurtland murders. I remember hearing about those. The Hollywood,
hey, Bob.
The Hollywood Yogurtland.
Hey, Bob. Bob.
Yes, Sergeant.
There's another murder down at Yogurtland.
All right, I'll send Detective Fredericks out.
Well, Exley? The guy who wrote... What?
Fans notes?
Who are you talking to? What? Are you going crazy?
No, Exley went nuts.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying this murder's down at Yogurtland.
All right, we'll send down Sergeant Exley.
The guy who... Fans notes?
Here at Yogurtland... Here at Yogurtland... You'll get unlimited toppings while you're being lunged at by people on the margins. Yogurtland, where your life is of no value.
All right, well, we got to wrap it up.
Did I add anything to this podcast?
Yes, you were very... Okay. It was good. I mean, we have a good rapport.
I'm sorry again for the...
We have a good rapport, and... I am going to be doing, you know, if you're around, I'm going to be doing a bunch of, you know, stuff with a bunch of guys. So if you're around,
guys.
we could, yeah, and gals, hopefully.
Oh, I'm out.
I'm out.
Hey, what did I call the flight attendants? Bopping babies.
Bopping babies.
Hey, bopping babies. You got a couple of dogs up there. You might want to check on. I don't think border collies should be suffering at that there. Bopping babies. You fuck. Get me some hummus. Stat.
Imagine that. That's your demand. You're an asshole about hummus.
Get me some hummus. Stat.
Sir, we'll turn this plane around if you say stat.
Stat won't. Yeah, I don't even know what it stands
you're
for.
You're suffocating border collies. You think I could get some hummus?
I'm the asshole.
All right.
Well, oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, James.
My pleasure.
For coming on. Do you want to plug anything at all? Do you have a patio show at Skid Row coming up?
Like the, what would you call it? The revenge show or the redemption?
Well, it's always nice to perform right next to where I'll be if I keep having shows like this.
You only perform though, like you only do like Skid Row or Tent Cities.
Yeah, I perform adjacent to Misery.
Yes, Misery adjacent. Yeah. Well, every place is Misery adjacent now. But do you want to plug anything? Twitter.
I'm on Twitter. Fritz is dead is my handle.
Fritz is dead.
Because I thought it'd be funny when I die for like a week. You know, leave them.
Well, you died last night.
Ugh. And I got an album if you want to hear that.
Oh, well, good. Yeah, plug that.
Came out on a Special Things Records.
Oh, they're good. Special Things.
Yeah, they were great to me. And what's called Still Together?
Still Together on a specialthing.com, right? Specialthingrecord.com or Special
Special
Thing?
Special Thing Records, I think, plural. Yeah, just okay. Google it.
Well, great. Yeah. And again, I'll be at the Punchline in San Francisco, March 22 to 24. And then in Little Rock, Arkansas at the White Water Tavern on the 20th, playing between two bands.
Really? What bands?
One is called The Paranoid Style, a great band, and the other one is called Wussy, another great band.
I love Wussy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Wussy's great.
I am a Wussy.
Me too.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening.